Conflict is just a part of life, isn't it? We see it in the world around us today. Whether you're looking at the ongoing seed of a civil war in the Ukraine or in Israel, as Israel and Hamas battle back and forth. You see it in the revolt and revolution and things going on in Libya, in the terrorist actions going on in the rest of Africa. You see it in Afghanistan. You see conflict all over the world. But that conflict also, we see a little bit closer to home. We see it in our nation, as people debate and are divided about the best way to run our country, as they're divided and they debate back and forth and argue about, well, how high taxes should be or how low they should be. They're divided about how we should treat the environment. But still, that conflict strikes even closer to home, as we see and experience conflict in our family. Conflict sometimes erupts between husband and wife, between parents and children. We certainly see that conflict between brothers and sisters, especially as they're growing up, huh? We see that conflict in our family. But if we were to look even more closer, we'd also have to admit that that conflict doesn't just exist in the world or in our nation or even in our family. We'd have to say at times there's conflict even inside each and every one of us. Conflict as I'm torn between two sides of a major decision. And I don't know which one to do, and I'm torn inside. There's conflict as I try to decide which of this, if I'm going to look at a major purchase, if I should or shouldn't purchase it. It tears at me because I'm not quite sure what the right thing to do is. Or perhaps it's a little more serious or a little bit deeper inside of us as we're dealing with conflict in our family about how best to respond. Or what to say, knowing that if I say the wrong thing, or if I say the right thing, that conflict might even get worse. Or perhaps it's that struggle inside of me as I deal with death. But if we look even closer at our hearts and our minds, we'd see and have to admit that there's a struggle even going on in our very heart and soul. And Paul very simply and very clearly describes that conflict that's going on in each one of our hearts in these words from Romans chapter 7. A struggle that each of us as believers have going on inside of us, a struggle that you and I face each and every day. The struggle is between us and that new man living in us, created in us through faith, and that sinful nature. Listen how Paul begins to describe that struggle, that conflict in each of us. He starts out by saying, I have the desire to do what is good. Paul understands and knows what God's will is. He says, I know the good I'm supposed to be doing. I know what God expects of me, but I cannot carry it out. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't always do it. That describes you and me, doesn't it? I mean, you and I know that we are supposed to love God first and foremost in our life. You and I know that we are supposed to love our neighbor, which means every other human being on this planet, the same way we love ourselves. We know that as we listen to people in our family, at work, in our neighborhood, that as we listen to what they say to us, that we are supposed to take their words and actions in the kindest possible way to give them the benefit of the doubt and not jump to conclusions or make our own assumptions in our minds as to what their motives are. We know that we're supposed to speak kindly and lovingly. We know that we are supposed to be content with the blessings or lack of blessings that God has put in our lives. We know all these things. You know them. And yet, as you begin to go through all those different ways that we know God wants us to live, we kind of have to avert our gaze to the ground, don't we? Because with Paul, we have to admit, I know the good I'm supposed to do. In fact, I probably know it well enough because I'm reminded each and every day of how I don't do the good that my God wants me to do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. All too often, instead of the good that we want to see ourselves doing, or perhaps we even see ourselves doing in our minds, yet when push comes to shove, what do we see? Evil. We see that sin come pouring out of us in our words and our actions. We see that sin sometimes not come out in our words and actions, but certainly still in our thoughts and attitudes. There, right there, when I want to do good, and I know the good I'm supposed to do, evil still comes out. Sin still shows itself. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Finally, Paul at the very beginning says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. You see that sometimes in children, don't you? They do something wrong, you catch them doing it wrong, and you're almost scratching your head saying, why in the world would you ever think that was okay? And they look at you, and they say, I don't know. You've had the same experience in your life. You know the good you're supposed to do, and yet you do something completely different. And then as you're lying in bed before you close your eyes, you wonder, why in the world did I do that? And you can't come up with a good answer. Sometimes you might be able to say, you know, I was tired, and the devil just got the best of me. Or I was spiritually or physically or emotionally wore out and I just lashed out. But there are certainly those times where you look at what you have done or what you've said. Not only do you not understand why you did it or why you said it, but you can't even explain it. I don't know. And Paul reminds us of why. He says, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Paul recognizes what you and I do as we see our sin, that sin that's always before us. that living inside of each of us is a horrible beast. A monster that seems to come out at just the worst possible time. A sinful nature that wants nothing to do with God and His will, regardless of how well we know what we're supposed to be doing. A sinful nature that's capable of any sin. There isn't a single sin on this earth that you and I aren't capable of committing. It's a sinful nature that's been passed down from generation to generation from Adam and Eve on. And your parents handed it to you, and you've shared that same sinful nature with your children. A sinful nature that rebels against God. A sinful nature that leads us to sin in our thoughts and our attitudes, our words and our actions. A sinful nature that even causes us to scratch our heads and say, why in the world did I ever think that would be okay to say or do? At the same time, Paul says, I have the desire to do what's good. He says, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. At the same time as Paul recognizes and sees this sinfulness and this sinful nature in him, Paul also sees and recognizes, I want to do God's law. I want to do what God tells me to do. I have this desire, this new man living in me that says, what God tells me to do, that's what I want and I strive for. I want to live this God-pleasing life. You begin to see the struggle in Paul's heart. You know and have experienced that same struggle in your heart. That struggle between the sinful nature and that new man living in you. And you're the battlefield. Your heart and your mind is what's being contested in that conflict. Both of them want possession of it. It's no wonder then Paul writes near the end of that section, I see this, I know this, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of sin and death? Who will rescue me from this war and this conflict? Paul recognizes it can't be him. After all, I'm the battlefield. Who's going to save me? But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In any conflict, very rarely do victories come easy. Any conflict, there's going to be energy that's expended, blood that is shed. And this victory, our victory through Christ, is no different. As you and I experience that inner struggle and conflict, as those two parts of us battle and war, victory didn't come cheap. Or easy. In fact, as God saw Adam and Eve fall into sin, He declared that the result of their sin, and any sin, was ultimately going to be death. And in saying that, God wasn't just talking about a physical death here on earth. He was talking about an eternal death, an eternal separation from Him and His love, an eternal death, all because of sin. The only way to overcome and find victory for that over sin and death certainly wasn't going to be found in us. So God sends his son, a savior, someone who rescues someone. And Jesus comes, and as he's here on earth, he lives this perfect life. He overcomes all the temptations the devil would throw at him. And you know how the devil works. It's not as though the devil is going to give Jesus an easy ride here on earth. He would throw every single temptation in his book at Christ. And yet, Jesus didn't fall or stumble. He perfectly kept God's will. And then as he saw the punishment that was demanded because of sin, death, he took all of our sin and put them on himself and died so that that sin would be paid for. That the punishment God himself had set up and demanded for sin would be taken care of. And then to show his unbelievable power and his victory wasn't just over sin. He rose from the dead and overcame death. And his resurrection shows that no longer is he paying for sin anymore by his death, but sin's been paid for. Death has been overcome. The victory is with Christ. And now through faith, as God's children, Jesus gives that victory to you. He says, like we heard last week, because you've been connected with me in your baptism, what's mine is yours. Because I was victorious, my victory is your victory. Which brings enormous comfort in the middle of that struggle. Because as you and I each and every day struggle against sin and temptation, as we battle that sinful nature, Christ's victory brings us comfort. It means if Christ was strong enough to overcome death and sin, and that Savior is now living in me, it means Jesus is empowering me and enabling me to live according to his will. To do those things that I have not only the desire to, but now Christ empowers me to live that way. To do those good things. And because Christ is living in me, strengthening me, means each and every day, when I wake up, I not only thank God for his goodness that he's enabled me to live another day and see the beauty of his creation, but it also means I wake up recognizing today's going to be another day in which I battle my sin, my sinful nature, I battle the devil. As a believer, it means each and every day we wake up recognizing today I am going to war. If you saw a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan walk outside the wire in just regular civilian clothes or in his uniform but without his body armor or his helmet or his weapon, you'd think the guy was nuts. He's not ready to fight. And that's what we pay him to do. As a child of God, the devil is not going to take a day off. Which means each and every day when you open your eyes, you have to recognize today is a day that I am going to have to fight. And so each and every morning, I put on the full armor of God. It means each and every day I take some time to strengthen myself with the Word, knowing that as I read and study God's Word, as I read these devotions, God is strengthening me for that day's fight and reminding me of all He's done and how He will be with me. so that then, each and every day as I struggle and I fight and I battle my sinful nature at night, when I lay my head on the pillow and get ready to close my eyes, with Paul I can say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Savior. Because through Christ, forgiveness is mine. Through Christ, sin and death has been overcome. Through Christ, the victory is mine. Amen.